Imagine that you know, want to go on this journey, and this journey to really know God. You know, kind of tired of just kind of playing around, going to church, maybe do some activities, religious activities or whatnot. But you're just kind of like, okay, God, if you're the real deal, I really kind of really want to know you. And so you find yourself in a place, in a room with some people, about, you know, 8-10 other people in this room. And you look around and you see, okay, there's a white couple there. There's a black couple there. There's a couple that is biracial. You have an Asian, a Caucasian. You have a black mother with her adult child. You have this white woman who's just kind of doing this thing on her own. And it's, you know, and you look at them and you see that some of them are empty nesters. Some of them are, you know, there's a grandparent. Some of them have like little kids. Some don't have any kids. They're just kind of there. And you're sitting there going, okay, if I'm going to go on this spiritual journey, I don't know whether this is the people that I should be going on this spiritual journey with, because I have nothing in common with these people. There's no way in the world I would be able to really kind of relate to this. Maybe this was a kind of a bad idea. Maybe I should wait another time where I can kind of walk into a room and go, well, you know what? They seem about the same age as me. They look like they kind of have the same background as me. It looks like they kind of drive a pretty similar car to me, and you know, and maybe they like the same music that I do, and maybe I need to go find that kind of group. But what if you're just sitting there, though, and you're in this group with a bunch of diverse people, and you just kind of go, okay, you know, all right, guy, let's just give this a shot and see what you do. And this is what this group did that you saw here. We went through Rooted a couple of years ago. Group that came together. They're looking at each other and kind of going, I don't know whether this is really going to be a good deal for me or not. But, you know, they said with a sense of adventure, all right, God, let's give it a shot and let's go. I don't think any of these people knew each other before that, but as they went through that journey, that 10-week experience, they began to find that they were more alike than they are different. They begin to realize that, hey, all of them are here because they really want to know the God that made them. But they're all here because they know that their life isn't perfect and they need a Savior. And they know that life can be hard and difficult. And as they kind of get to know each other and share their stories, they realize that a lot of them have some brokenness and some hurts in their lives that, you know, that they're kind of dealing with. And they're beginning to share their life and begin to realize that, hey, we're more alike than we are different. We want to know God. We all want to grow. And we all want to be around people who know that we're not perfect, but they love us anyways. Wow. Maybe we're a lot more alike than we are different. That is the story of not just a unique group that just had a unique experience. We've seen it through Rooted over and over and over and over again. And I cannot lie, there are times where I'll sit there right when Rooted starts and I'm going, okay, I think this is the group that's going to be a complete and utter failure. It's not going to work this time, God, because I don't know how in the world you're going to be able to work through this. Every single time, all the way through, we get to the end of it, go on a retreat, and, you know, love you, brother, love you, sister. Oh, man, we're so bonded. I can't believe, you know, I never thought that I could ever bond with other people and relate to other people, you know, like this before in our lives. And so when we think about this, this is God's vision. God's vision, like we said last week, his vision has always been for us as humanity to be family. He made Adam and Eve multiply, fill the whole earth, and his vision was always that we could go anywhere around the world and we could actually make eye contact with somebody and not either feel weird, awkward, or afraid. That we could drop anywhere around the globe and automatically it would feel like we're stepping into a family's house. But as we saw from last week, that, you know, God made a family, but we made it a bunch of strangers. And so we went from this whole vision of collectiveness, of this family, and then we became strangers. We became outsiders. Kind of our selfishness, our own evil desires, own desires and wants, our own thoughts that, you know, if we're going to be unified, I get to choose what we're unified about. And now we're fighting for who gets to be the unifier and who gets their way. And so you have this big, huge mess throughout human history. That's why when you walk into a store or walk down the street, you feel a sense of distrust to somebody. It's because of our sin nature. It's because of our fallen nature. It's because, you know, you can go different places around the world and feel a little bit, you know, you feel a little self-conscious that you feel so different from the people around you, and you feel like a complete and utter outsider. And so there's this brokenness that's happened throughout human history, that now people become strangers, rangers being outside, they're outsiders. And so we see that, and we see God made Adam and Eve, became a mess. People got worse. God hit the reset button with Noah and his family. And he said, I'm not going to, you know, push the reset button again, but it still got a mess and kept getting worse and worse and worse, by which then God finally said, okay, these guys are, they're such a mess, and collectively they're destructive. So I'm going to slow them down before they destroy everything, and I'm going to scatter them. And so in Genesis chapter 11, we see God scattering the people. That is why the city was called Babel, right? You've heard the word the Tower of Babel, maybe. It's kind of, you hear that a lot in our culture and society. Or, are you babbling, right? Kind of can't understand you. You're speaking some kind of language I don't even really recognize. Well, this is where it comes from. That is why the city was called Babel, because that is where the Lord confused the people with different languages. And in this way, he scattered them all over the world. And so we have all different languages, cultures, and through that, we then, instead of just completely destroying everything, we just destroy one little tribe after another and collectively get our tribe and, you know, and use other tribes for our own benefits. And so even still, God may have slowed it down a little bit, but man, we are still very much at each other in our different cultures, different tribes. There's racism, tribalism, nationalisms, all sorts of things that have, you know, created such, you know, disharmony and destruction in so many people's lives, right? I'm not really saying anything, you know, crazy or new. You just watch the news. There's a lot of it going on in our world. Well, that's what happened. And you see it all throughout history. Same story. And then, thank goodness, this was written, probably Genesis was written, all this stuff was written down by Moses around, you know, 1400 years before Jesus. And then all of a sudden, God in his incredible love, because again, he made a promise that he's not going to hit the hard reset button on us. Instead of hitting the reset button, he's going to create a new family. And so we see that God sent his only begotten son into this world. He sent his son, family, into a family, Mary and Joseph, in order to make us family. That's why, like Shauna said earlier, one of our culture statements is that we would really love to be a different kind of people. That we have a long way to go. There's a lot of work that needs to be happened, that God needs to continue to work in our hearts. But we really desire to be a people God moves from just being strangers, kind of outside of each other, to a place of family. Because we see throughout Scripture that God really does take strangers and he makes them family. So we're going to kind of look at that today. We're going to say, how did God begin the whole process of making us family again? Well, you can go all the way back again to the time of Jesus. Remember, in the time of Jesus, this was 1,400 years after the Tower of Babel, where God scattered everybody. They're speaking different languages, different tribes. They're all over the place. Jesus comes around. He dies. He raises from the dead. He tells a group of about 120 people, hey, here's the deal. This is right after he rose from the dead. I want you guys to stick around. I want you to pray. And in a little while, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. And when we see, when the Holy Spirit comes upon these little group, this small little group of believers, what you see is not only the beginning of the church, but really what you see is really God beginning of the ingathering, bringing the family back together again. So if you have your Bible, I want you to flip over to Acts chapter 2. We're going to begin in verse 1. There's also the digital card right in front of you. All you need to do is open up your smartphone, your camera. You just focus your camera on the digital guide in front of you, and you'll see all the sermon notes right there. Easy for you just to kind of follow along. They'll also be on the screen. It's everywhere. We just want to make sure that you guys fully connect and connect well. All right, so let's dive in. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. So on the day of Pentecost, so what is Pentecost? In the during the Israelites, you know, during this time of Jesus, the Israelites were celebrating three big festivals a year: Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Ingathering. So there's kind of three. So basically, there was like a three-week vacation where the people of Israel would come together. You know why they would come together? To remind them that they're family. Israel. Did y'all know Israel? Israel's a name of a guy. Okay? So Israel started with a guy and his family. And then they had more kids and more kids and more kids and more kids. So you see this whole family thing all throughout Scripture. A guy named Jacob, God says, hey, Jacob, your name's different. Your name is Israel. And through you, you're going to become a nation. But you're not just any nation. You're just kind of like this big family. So this big family called Israel have these three kind of festivals that they come together. And one of them is Pentecost. It comes 50 days after Passover. So all these Jews are coming together to Jerusalem. Some of them are in that Israel area. If you ever kind of look at a map, you know, they come from that area. But there's a lot of Jews that came from all over the place. Probably around, you know, 600 to 700 years before Jesus came on the scene, Israel had two massive jolts to their nation. One jolt was from this nation called Assyria, which is kind of modern day Iran, okay? And so they came around 700 BC and conquered Israel in that region, and especially the northern region, and they took Jews and they put them all over the place, okay? Do you know why they scattered Jews? Assyria was very smart. What they did was when they conquered lands, they would take people and put them in other places, and they would take other places and put them in your neighborhood. You know why they did that? Because it's very smart. Because people with different languages and different cultures don't get along really well. And if people can't get along really well, they're not going to fight us. And so we bring division in order to make sure that our empire continues to stay intact. Very smart. But what they did was is they dispersed all these Jews. And then about 100 years or so later after that, then the nation of Babylon came through. They conquered the Assyrians. Then they conquered the area of Israel. And they dispersed even, you know, more people. They destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed the area, and people scattered all over the place. So for about 600 years, you had these Israelites living all different lands. And so they would have another generation, another generation, another generation, and they would have multiple generations in these foreign places. So they spoke a lot of different languages. But because they were part of this one little family, you know, the lineage of this one little family from this one guy named Israel, they would still come back three times a year and come and have a big family celebration to honor God. So that's what they're doing here. So there's a lot of people here coming to Pentecost. And so there was these believers after Jesus rose from the dead. They were meeting together in one place, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven like a roaring of mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on them. An experience that they've never had before in their lives. And so in verse 4, it goes on, and everyone present there, all about 120 people there, was filled with the Holy Spirit. And what did the Spirit do within them? They began to speak in other languages. In that context, it was like speaking, it would be like if you never spoke Vietnamese before, you're just like automatically speaking Vietnamese. If you've never spoken, you know, Spanish before, you're just starting to speak Spanish. And so they're just starting to speak all of these different languages. And so they're speaking all these different languages. The Holy Spirit gave them this ability. And at that time, there were devout Jews from every nation in Jerusalem. And so here they're speaking all of these different languages of the known world, basically, at that time, of all the Jews who knew all these different languages who happened to be there in Jerusalem for Pentecost. And so it goes on and says, when they heard the loud noise, everyone came running and they were bewildered. So all of these Jews who came from all these different lands to worship God were hearing all of this strange noise, this strange going on, right? We tend to do that, something strange. We kind of go, what's going on, right? When I went to Texas Tech, way out in the in the panhandle of Texas where, you know, tornadoes were very common, right? That when the sirens go off, you know, the guess what we all did? We all went outside to see what strange things were happening, right? Very smart college students. You know, the tornado's coming. We all want to go outside. We want to see it. So here is just this disruption. There's something strange going on, and everybody's rubbernecking, all right? So they're coming out, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages. It's like, it would be like you coming up to me, if you're Vietnamese, like I said earlier, and you know I don't know Vietnamese, and all of a sudden I'm just speaking fluently to you. It's like, that's bizarre. Yeah, I know. It's bizarre to me, too. And so here, these guys, these gals, all these people are hearing their localized languages from these people speaking, being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed, these people are from Galilee. Now, back in those days, just like we do in America, we have different places who have different, nuances to how they speak. You know, being from Texas, y'all. So they knew that they had this certain way of speaking that they're from Galilee. And here's the deal. So they said, these people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own languages. And they're speaking a lot of different languages, because here it goes on. It says, well, because here we are. We're Parthians and Medes and Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. In other words, they're saying, we hear people coming all the way from Rome. We hear languages of our native languages, or the languages that we hear from our places in Mesopotamia, which is like Iran and Iraq and Northern Africa. We all came from all these different places. We have all these different local dialects that we know. And then all of a sudden, here we are, and we hear all these people just fluently speaking our language. And so it goes on, verse 9. And here we all hear these people speaking in our own languages what? But the wonderful things God has done. And so you see the reversal of the Tower of Babel. That here there was a scattering because human beings are just going to absolutely destroy each other on their own. And then all of a sudden you hear this, you see this ingathering. This ingathering of all these people from different, who have different languages living in different places, to bring them back again under one family. And I love it right here when it says, you know, they're speaking all the wonderful things God has done. There's something within this group of people that they're hearing these words. They're hearing what is being said. It's all in their own language, which is kind of trippy for them. But what really is resonating with them is this amazing thing of what God has done for them. Again, when we look at humanity, all of us all around the world, we're a lot more alike than we are different. When we begin to realize that, you know what, you were created by a God who loves you, uniquely created the way that you are, but yet you're not just uniquely created, you're created to have unity with everybody around you. And so there's a unifying piece of who you are, and that unifying piece is you all have a desire to know that you have purpose, that you have meaning, that there is someone greater in your life, and that is God. And that, yes, he does know everything about you, which is kind of scary, because he does. He knows all our junk, people. He knows it all, forwards and backwards. He knows it better than you do. There are things in your life that you forgot, and you're probably, thank goodness that I forgot those things, or you don't dwell on those things. He knows those things. But guess what? He still loves you. Loves you a lot. And every single one of us in all our different cultures, all of our different backgrounds in this room, that resonates with us. We all desire to be loved. Even, you know, in our own mess and even our own imperfections. And so, we hear all these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things that God has done. They stood there amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They asked each other. Peter goes on and he kind of explains it. But I want to kind of give you a little bit of a cliff notes because I think Paul gives a little bit better, you know, cliff notes for the short amount of time that we have here to be able to go through it. What does this all mean? Why did God do this? Why did all of that happen? Well, I think Paul kind of helps us out with that in his letter to the Christians in Ephesus. And this is what he says in that letter in verse 5. He says, God has decided in advance. What does this all mean? Why is this all happening? Well, it's all happening, and what it means is that God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So this is really important, that God decided long ago to bring the family back together again, to adopt us back into a family. Us, we, all of us, not just a bunch of little silos, but we together as a family, not just a bunch of individuals praising God or worshiping God, but us as family coming together with one voice to say, God, we all think you're pretty amazing. We are all grateful for what you've done in our lives. We're all excited that we get to do life with you for eternity. We all come together, even in our own imperfections, and we all kind of get on each other's nerves at sometimes, but we are all grateful that you're teaching us what grace is all about, how you have been gracious, not just to me, but to all of us. So God, let us be a people of grace, and let us be a people who have been adopted into this family, bringing all of us together to himself through Jesus Christ. And why did God do this? It's because this is what he wanted. This is what he wanted to do. And guess what? It gave him great pleasure. And so it goes on. Paul goes on. He writes and he says, but, you know, so God's purpose was that we Jews who were the first to trust Christ, Paul was a Jew. God's purpose was that we Jews were the first to trust in Christ, would bring praise and glory to God. And now, you Gentiles. See, the Israelites kind of thought, we're the chosen nation, we're the chosen family, and so everything is all about us. And sometimes they kind of got, you know, prideful, because that's our sin nature, and they forgot that, no, God created all of humanity, and it was really God's design to use this one family called Israel to bring all the families together. Didn't quite work out so well through the Israelites. So God sent his son to bring all of us, the Israelites and all of us Gentiles, all of us people to come together into one adopted family. And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. It's not just the Israelites. It's you too, Gentiles. It's you too, Romans. It's you too, Africans. It's to you too, those of you who live in the Arabic world. It's you too who live all around the world. That you who heard the truth, the good news that God saves you, and you believed in Christ. That's our unifier. What makes us a community? What makes us one? I don't make the rules. You don't make the rules. There's no country that makes the rules. There's no language that makes the rules. There's no culture that makes the rules on how we are unified. What unifies us is our faith and trust in the unifier himself, Jesus Christ. And so he identified you as his own. In other words, identify. In other words, our identity is no longer me being a Caucasian man. It's not my identity. I just have white skin and I'm a guy. But my identity is wrapped around my relationship with my Heavenly Father. And my identity is wrapped around my family, my brothers and sisters in Christ. It's my identity. Jesus Christ identifies me as his own. That is who I am. So this new family, with all of its diversity, all of its beauty, all of its different languages and everything like that, because, man, one thing that's really cool about God, God makes a lot of things different. But so how in the world do all of us become unified when we're so different? We become unified because we're family together through Jesus Christ. So we can celebrate each other's cultures without being divisive. We can enjoy each other without being divisive because we're brothers and sisters. We have the same father and we have the same older brother, the Son of God himself, Jesus Christ. And so he has identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit whom he promised long ago. In verses 12 and 14 of the same letter there that Paul said, he said, the Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us, all of us, again, together, to be his own people. And why did he do this? He did this so we would praise and glorify him. You say, well, wait a minute. Why would he do this in order for us to praise and glorify him? Because here's the thing. When you begin to understand God and you begin to see how he works and understand how much he loves us, we just naturally go, oh God, that's amazing. It's amazing. When I've seen groups go through Rooted, just like what Shauna was saying earlier, you see people and they're kind of like, I don't know, I don't think so. This isn't gonna work. I gotta figure it's not gonna work. And I don't know these people. I don't know whether I'm gonna like them or any of that, but okay, I'll give it a shot. Every single time we get through that retreat, and guess what people are doing at the end of the retreat? You know what they're doing? Oh, they're praising and glorifying God. Wow, God, I thought this was not going to happen. Wow, God, I didn't see this. God, I can't believe that you did that through us. That was amazing. You took a bunch of strangers who didn't even know each other at the beginning of this, and we feel like family. That only you could do that, God, because there's nothing, everything in this world is trying so hard to try to figure this whole divisiveness thing out. But man, you get a group of people who just say, all right, God, give you 10 weeks, see what you got. And I'll just be open-handed and open-hearted and see what happens. And I'll be open and I'll be honest and walk through this with these people. And then over and over and over again, you know, so we would praise and glorify him. God, it's amazing. It's amazing what you did there. So here's the thing. So this is kind of how God has worked, and this is what God is doing and his ultimate plan. But we have to understand, what do we do about it? One of the things that we do about it is very simple. We open our lives to strangers, and we invite them into the family. That's it. It's not rocket science. Most of life, really, is just about inviting people who are outside and say, hey, I want to get to know you. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to, you know, I'm wanting to listen to you. And so I want to move beyond this place of being strange outside to knowing each other. And then just saying, hey, why don't you come? Be a part of our family. One of the things is always kind of a hope in my vision for River Run is that we would be people that wouldn't just invite people to come on a Sunday morning to hear a message, to be a part of an event or anything like that. But that we would truly be a people that would invite people into our lives. Because I think that's what really God has always intended and wanted. That God really desires for us just to go and bridge the gap, the relational gap in this world, to take that step towards a stranger and just invite them into our families, invite them into our lives, individually, corporately, whatever. Is that ultimately, God, who is a relational being, has always desired for us to connect deeply relationally. Because here's the thing. There will be a day when God says, all right, the family's together, and the family, we're going to be together forever and ever and ever and ever. And as we see through Revelation chapter 7, and Revelation chapter 7 gives us kind of a glimpse of what life will be. After this, I saw a vast crowd. John's writing in this vision here, talking about in the future here. After this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count. There's too many, there's a ton of people here. So we're all here together, you know, and from every nation and tribe and people and language. This is one big, huge family reunion here. standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. What's the centerpiece of this relationship with all this diverse people? It's God and His Son, Jesus Christ. And so they were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands, which is just a symbolism of you're my king, you're my Lord. It's out of respect, you know, and love. And they were shouting. They were shouting. They were fired up. All these different people, all these different languages coming together, roaring, shouting. Shouting the things that all of us deeply connect with. Salvation. Salvation. Freedom. Joy. Forgiveness. Reconnection. Reconciliation. Love. Peace. Salvation. Eternal life comes from our God who sits at the throne and from the Lamb. We're all together in this. We're all family here. Thousands and thousands. And none of us are going to sit there and go, well, you know what? I don't think I can be family with all these people because there's one, there's too many people here. And they all speak different languages. And I don't know whether they like the same music I like. It's not happening. They're coming because they all have a sense of connection. We're all in this together. Every single one of us looking around and going, hey, I guess I'm not the only one who need to be saved. We all need to be saved. And we were all saved. And we were all created by the same God. We're all loved by Him. We're all accepted by Him. And He has done a good work in our hearts to finally purify us, by which all thousands of us can come together and be able to look each other in the eye and not feel weirdness or awkwardness. To be able to give each other a hug and just embrace in a way that just speaks of kinship and closeness. What a beautiful thing. What a beautiful thing. God will realize that vision, no doubt about it. But in this moment, we are the people of the church. We are the people of reconciliation. We are the people that God is bringing together to make us a strange family. The early church, people thought the early church, they thought they were strange because you had a slave who became a leader, a bishop. You had people of different economic backgrounds. You had royalty, women who have royalty, and you had slaves all gathered together in the same place saying salvation comes from God. Salvation came from you too. And you live like close to the emperor. Yeah, but salvation came to you too, and we're equal. We're brother and sister, you know, and even though we have a different economic background, we're in this together. We're a family. And so it's God's vision for us to be a people that works on being people from who are strangers to become family. And the way that we do that, guys, it's not hard. It's not simple. Sometimes it's weird. Sometimes it's awkward. And so, yeah, that can be a little bit hard or difficult, you know. But really, the simplicity of it is moving towards, in faith, towards other people who are strange. And what I mean by that is just anybody who's outside of you. That could still be a coworker. It could be somebody even within your own family that you still feel a sense of disconnect or, you know, apart from. It could be with somebody with special needs. It could be with somebody with a different cultural background. Whatever that may be, I always encourage you just to say, God, help me to be a bridge maker, to be someone who just simply invites people into the family that you have already brought me into, to be part of our lives. This hit home with me thinking back when I was a kid. I was a kid and in high school. And somebody invited me to a family reunion. My parents were divorced. My two older brothers, my brother and sister were gone out of the house. It felt like very fragmented. And so I never realized until later on how I felt like I really desired and needed a sense of family. So they invited me to come to this family reunion. I really didn't want to go because it's not like I'm not really a natural in big crowds and things like that. And so I was going to feel weird and awkward. I didn't know anybody. or anything like that. I wasn't part of this family. This was not my family. But they said, hey, why don't you come with us? I said, okay, why not? I'll go. And I went to this family reunion, and I got there, and people from all, there's a big family reunion. People kept coming up to me and would, you know, make me feel part of that family. One came up to me and said, Tyler, hey, make yourself at home. We're your family for today. You know, just come and hang out with us. And we're so glad that you're here. Make yourself at home. Do whatever you want to do. And then they treated me like family. You know what I did when I left there? You know what I did? I wished that that was my family. They let a stranger and made me feel like I was their family. That's what God's calling us to do. Who is it in your life that is on the outside, broken, disconnected, that needs a family? Let's be their family. We're going to sing a song here. There's a song about waiting for God, and it's really about a song of us and we, that we would be a people that wait on God, that we would be a people that would, you know, lean into God together, that we would be a people that find our identity, our strength, our security, our purpose around our relationship together with our God who made us. And so spend this time. You can sing, you can just pray, and just, you know, I would encourage you just to pray that God, break me out of the Christian silo. You know, make this not just some personal relationship. Make this what you've always made it meant to be, a corporate relationship, a communal relationship. And so use this song and this opportunity to allow God to kind of work in that. So let's sing.